our guys are on day two of Love You Des Moines Days, and we are having so much fun with this. It's a blast. We're in the middle of a series called Be Rich, Love, Give, Serve. And it's about, you know, we're learning that it's not what you have that makes you rich. It's what you do with what you have that really makes your life rich. It's not so much in the Bible about the quantities you have, but the qualities you have. There's a couple of guys, and God had blessed them, and they wanted to make a difference. And they were great guys that just were videographers as well. And so they put together a series of films about generosity, and they did some incredible little projects of generosity. I want to show to you one of my favorites of their series, so check it out now. Could you?
Hey guys, I'm Kyle with Give Back Films.
And I'm Josh.
Today we came across this awesome hotel cleaner, and we're going to go tip her $500.
She came in with the folks a while back, and she was looking for a place to stay. Well, we've just gotten rid of our maid. She had just quit. We had a for hire sign sitting over there on the wall, and she says, "What are you hiring for?" I said, "Well, with some dads coming, of course, we needed a maid, so we thought we'd try her out." She didn't have any money, she only had, you know, limited cash. And
right.
So, you know, it kind of worked out, you know, for everybody. She's done a great job, excellent job. Laundry room was piled up, like, because we needed help, you know, and we were full, and so the laundry was, we were running out of our towels and everything, so we needed to get the laundry done. Well, she went in and not only did she start the laundry, but she started organizing it. And she put everything in order, you know. And I went in there and I just went, wow. What? Wow. Where did you come from?
To that is, but you know what I think of is when Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we're more touched and more inspired by stories of sacrifice and generosity than we are by watching the lifestyles of the rich and famous. You know, we just are. And so today I want to talk about the riches of the kingdom. And over the last several weeks, we've been talking about all of this. And today I want to go back to the passage we've looked at. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, and it was his first letter that he wrote to his kind of, the Apostle Paul, to his kind of right-hand guy named Timothy. The first letter to Timothy is called, we call it 1 Timothy. He wrote a second letter, and guess what we call that? 2 Timothy, yeah, it's cool. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, instruct those who are rich in the present age, and we've been learning that would be us, yes, because we are blessed in America. Almost everybody here, virtually everyone here, is in that top 10% of the world's wealthiest people. And if you make over $48,000 a year, congratulations, you're in the richest 1%. In the entire world. That's amazing. Okay, so he says, command those who are, instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but set their hope on God, who richly provides us with all these things to feel guilty about. No, to enjoy. He doesn't begrudge that we have these things. He says, you can enjoy them. I'm giving to you, my children. But he doesn't want us to feel guilty. He wants us to feel grateful, because grateful people make a difference. And so then he goes on. He says, here's true riches. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works. That's true wealth. Giving your life away for the sake of others. Blessing other people. Showing kindness and generosity and sacrifice and love and forgiveness. All those things. To be rich in good works. To be generous. And to be willing to share. That's where real wealth is. That's true riches. And he goes, and if you do that, what happens is you're storing up treasure for ourselves as a good foundation for the coming age. So he says, you're actually becoming wealthier as a foundation for the coming age, because at the end of your life, you'll look back and you'll be thankful and grateful. You won't be thinking on that last day about how big your house was or how nice your car was. You'll be thinking back on the lives you impacted, the relationships you had, because you took your time and your energy and your resources to impact and bless your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community, your world. That's what's going to go on. That's what's going to last. That's what you're going to celebrate for all of eternity. He says that's the foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Because wealth can be deceptive. It can make you think that this is really living the good life, where in fact a life of generosity and blessing other people, that's truly life. That's what he's been trying to help us to understand. Well, today I want to kind of zero in on that idea of the treasure, the riches of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It's the rule of God. It's wherever God's justice and mercy and goodness and kindness and grace and love is poured out, that's the kingdom of God. That's where God is reigning. And when that happens, that's great. All right? That's the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus told some parables about the kingdom of God. And today, we're going to take a quick look at five of these parables to learn what we can about this treasure, this kingdom of God, this storing up treasures in his reign. So let's look at it together. The first one we're going to look at is this parable of the mustard seed. And here we're going to learn about kingdom impact, the difference the reign of God makes. And what we learn is that small beginnings can have big endings. Small beginnings can have big endings, all right? So, here we go. The Gospel of Mark now. We're going to look at several Gospels in the New Testament. Gospel of Mark, and Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. He says that's what the reign of God is like. You see, Jesus, he's talking to his followers there, and there's just a handful of them. And he's been telling them how, you know, the kingdom of God has come, and they're expecting big things, but they're looking around and there's like 12 of us. And even in the big moments, after his death and resurrection and ascension, there's 120 of them gathered. And they're going to bless the world. They're going to change the world. They're going to bring the salvation and untold change for the better to the world. Just this handful of people. He says, don't underestimate the impact, because it's like a mustard seed. It's like the smallest seed we have. You put it in the ground, it doesn't look like much. It's tiny. There's thousands of them in your hand. You put one in the ground, and guess what? It takes a little while, but after a while, it grows and grows and grows and becomes this really huge garden plant that can, birds can actually nest it, and they find sanctuary there, and they find rest there, and they find their home there. And he says, that's what's going to happen here, guys. We're going to be moving, and we're going to see this, and may not look like much right now, but in small things, small numbers, small things can have a huge impact. And after a time, if you give it enough time and sunshine and watering, you plant those seeds in the ground, what happens is people find refuge. People find security in God. People trust in him and are forgiven. People find peace and goodness and grace in Jesus through his death and resurrection. They find that. And it starts out so small, and yet it grows so big. That's what we're talking about here. You know, guys, this is the second year we've done Love You Des Moines Days. And it's 9 days of really blessing our community every time we can. And I encourage you all, wear your shirts next week if you have one. If you don't have one, you know, grab one on the way out. But those are for sale out there. But guys, we're just celebrating this. And you know, sometimes you look around and you say, yeah, only 3 or 4 people showed up to this thing that I did. I said, yeah, 3 or 4 people came. But like there's 1,000 people doing this. Or like 1,500 people doing this. Or like 2,000 people doing that. And you add that up. And if everybody just does their little mustard seed, pretty soon it's a big impact. And that's what we're seeing here. It's great. So I want to give you just we only had day one, okay? And today is day 2. But I want to give you just a short recap in a little video here of day 1. All right? So check it out.
Bike repairs to the community, doing simple tubes, brake adjustments, derailleur adjustments, part of Love You Des Moines.
Can we just celebrate? Great first day, day 1. Guys, and we're just loving it, you know. And you know, it doesn't seem like much, you know, bike repair, free bike repair. Guys, there was a line for that. I mean, the whole time there's a big line for that, and people were waiting. And I overheard, I mean, I was eavesdropping on a conversation, and this woman was on her cell phone, and she says, "You got to get over here. I mean, they're doing free bike repair. This is what you want. This is what we need." And so she's telling her friends, her neighbors, and more people are learning about that. And it's just planting little seeds in the ground. It's planting little seeds in the ground. We had a couple of guys came up with this idea of Target Golf. I don't really understand it totally, but it just, you know, these little kind of kid golf clubs. And they said, you know, will anybody show up? And these two guys had this idea. We had 57 kids show up. 57 kids, almost all of them from outside the church. And they're just learning to play golf. Some of them have never played golf before. One young man had one arm. He had lost his armor. I don't know the story behind that, but he was out there having fun and having a blast. And you plant little seeds like that of generosity and love to people with their kids, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference. I'll tell you a story about a woman in our church. I'll call her Renee. I'll call her Renee because that's her name. Anyway, and Renee, when 6 years ago, and this is our anniversary weekend, 6 years ago, you know, she started to get involved in the pickleball that we do over there. And now we have 60 or 70 pickleball players 3 or 4 times a week. And most of them, 90% of them are from outside Valley. And so we just go over there. And anyway, so she just started playing pickleball. And guess what she did? She started befriending people and loving people because she's a follower of Jesus. And that's what Jesus followers do. They love their neighbors. And so she's getting to know people. And she does this for months and months and years. And now it's been years. And so we were coming up to Easter this year. And she said, you know, God's stirring on my heart. Maybe I just need to, you know, maybe I just need to ask some people here that I've built these relationships with if they want to be in a spiritual discovery group, you know, answer their spiritual questions, look at some tough topics. So she said, I'm just going to, you know, take a chance here and plant some, I planted these seeds, so maybe it's time. And so she reached out to them, and she didn't know, would anybody come to this, a little spiritual discovery group? Well, she had 6 or 7 people come, and they did it for 6 or 7 weeks. And at the end of it, she said, by the way, if you want to come with me to Easter, you're sure welcome. And she had 1 or 2 of them come to that Easter time, and they get to discover the story of the amazing love of God, who loved us so much he gave his son to die on the cross for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. And now they get to hear that, and you're planting more seeds. And that story's not over. That's just begun a few weeks ago, but it really goes back years to a little seed. Doesn't look like much. Playing pickleball? How could that make a difference in somebody's life? Well, just listen to Jesus. Small beginnings can have big endings. Okay, second parable is the parable of the treasure and pearl. It's actually 2 parables. And this teaches our kingdom priority. The importance of it, the priority of it. The kingdom's value makes it priority number one. It's so important, it's so valuable that it's got to move to the top of our list. The reign of God, the move of God in our lives goes to the top of our list. You know, he's saying, you know, go bold with this. Don't hold back. I have a guy I was reading one day, and he said, sometimes it's a day to take a flyer. It's like God has been nudging you to do something bold, to not hold back, to go all in. And it reminds me of one of my favorite stories written by a guy named Chip McGregor. It is a true story. In fact, they made a movie about it just a while back. But it's, let me just read it to you. He says, I suppose most people have dreams, but how many people actually turn their dreams into reality? Larry Walters is among the relatively few who have. His story is true, though you may find it hard to believe. Larry was a truck driver, but his lifelong dream was to fly. And when he graduated from high school, he joined the Air Force in hopes of becoming a pilot. Unfortunately, poor eyesight disqualified him. So when he finally left the service, he had to satisfy himself with watching others fly the fighter jets that crisscrossed the skies over his backyard. And as he sat there in his lawn chair, he dreamed about the magic of flying. Then one day, Larry Walters got an idea. He went down to the local Army Navy surplus store and bought a tank of helium and 45 weather balloons. These are not your brightly colored party balloons. These are your heavy-duty spheres measuring over 4 feet across when fully inflated. Back in his yard, Larry used straps to attach the balloons to his lawn chair, the kind you might have in your backyard. He anchored the chair to the bumper of his Jeep and inflated the balloons with helium. Then he packed some sandwiches and drinks and loaded a BB gun, figuring he could pop a few of the balloons when it was time to return to Earth. His preparations now complete, Larry Walters sat in his chair and cut the anchoring cord. His plan was to lazily float back down to terra firma. But things didn't quite work out that way for Larry. When Larry cut the cord, he did not float lazily up. He shot up as if fired from a cannon. Nor did he go up a couple hundred feet. He climbed and climbed and climbed until he finally leveled off at 11,000 feet. At that height, he could hardly risk deflating any of the balloons lest he unbalance alone and really experience flying. So he stayed up there sailing around for 14 hours, totally at a loss as to what to do. Eventually, Larry drifted into the approach corridor for the Los Angeles International Airport. A pilot radioed the tower about passing a guy in a lawn chair at 11,000 feet with a gun in his lap. LAX is right on the ocean, and you may know that at nightfall, the winds on the coast begin to change. So as dusk fell, Larry began drifting out to sea. At that point, the Navy dispatched a helicopter to rescue him, but the rescue team had a hard time getting to him because the draft from the propeller kept pushing his homemade contraption farther and farther away. Eventually, they were able to hover over him and then drop a rescue line, which they gradually hauled him back down to earth. As soon as Larry Walters hit the ground, he was arrested. A television reporter called out, "Mr. Walters, why'd you do it?" Larry stopped, eyed the man, then replied nonchalantly, "Well, a man can't just sit around." I love that. It's a crazy story. But you know what? Sometimes you take a bold move. Sometimes you take a flyer. And this is what Jesus says about the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he was so pumped, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field," which was totally allowable and legitimate in the first century. This is how you did it. And he says, "That is so valuable. I have to give up everything and just go all in on this one because it's so valuable, the treasure." Or Jesus says, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." He said, guys, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like you've discovered buried treasure in a field. It's like you found the one priceless pearl and you're just going all in. You're like, that's worth everything. If we knew how much the kingdom of God was really worth, it would be worth all the sacrifice that we could possibly make. I want to tell you about a friend of mine named Erica. And Erica is in her 30s now, but when she was in college, Erica went through undergrad. She did fantastic. She was extremely smart. I mean, really smart. And she wanted to go to law school. So she started applying to law school, and she was accepted at law schools. And one particular place that she was accepted to, she was excited to pursue, was the Harvard School of Law. She was accepted to Harvard. Problem: she didn't have enough money to go to Harvard School of Law. So she got thinking about this, and she's a dedicated Christian. She's praying about this, and she came up with a bold strategy. And she went to her parents, and she said, "Mom and Dad, what would you think if I competed for Miss America?" And they said, "Go for it." And she did. And in the year 2003, we have a picture here, Erica Harold became Miss America. And now, because this comes with a scholarship, Erica Harold was able to go to Harvard School of Law, become an attorney, and now, as a dedicated Christian, she is using her skills and her influence to bless countless people. She's been highly involved in all sorts of kingdom initiatives. She's been highly involved in getting involved in anti-human trafficking initiatives. She's encouraged university students to pursue their dreams and their education. She's used her success and the resources that God has given her to become involved in prison fellowship, blessing prisoners with gospel initiatives and the good news of Jesus there. And on and on and on it goes. She has herself faced off racism and sexism, and she's elevated that, and she's become a champion to show what the love of Christ is all about as we relate to people of different ethnicities and races, and as we relate to people who are women. And she's done all of these things in the name of Christ as a true follower of Christ. I know her because she's a member of the Trinity International University Board of Regents. We're both members there, Board of Regents members there, so that's our connection. So she took a bold move, and now she's using that to pursue kingdom initiatives. It's a great thing. I'm also happy to announce this morning that our Good for All conference coming in September, Erica Harold is the final speaker that we've added to our speaker lineup, and she'll be here as well for that conference. Can we cheer for that? That's a good thing, you know? Excited for Erica Harold to join us. And she's going to be talking about actually, how do you manage it in a hostile culture? How do you live as a Christian and have civility and respect for people that you disagree with or who disagree with you? And she knows about this. And she's not talking about passivity. She's talking about holding to your convictions, but doing it in a way that honors Christ and honors even our enemies. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's what it is. Sometimes it's time to take a flyer, a bold move. The reign of God in your life is worth everything you have. Don't hold back. Don't play it safe. Give your life away for the sake of the kingdom of God. Take a bold step of sacrifice, generosity, investment in the kingdom. What's your bold step? For some of you, it's like forgiving somebody that you have been holding a grudge. For others of you, it's like, I need to really reach out and to this coworker and show them kindness. For others of you, it's joining in on something that's happening during Love You Des Moines days and not hold back and go all in. For others of you, we talked about last week, setting aside our first fruits to the Lord and saying, I asked you to pray about this week, and you said, and you prayed about that, and now you follow through on that. I don't know what it's going to be, but you take that bold initiative and say, yeah, I need to make this priority one. Third parable he teaches is the parable of the shrewd manager. The parable of the shrewd manager is about kingdom smarts. It's about kingdom smarts. And this parable teaches us to make forever friends with your resources. Make forever friends with your resources. In other words, use what God's given to you to build relationships with people that will last forever. Now, we're going to look at this parable. It's in, let's look at it together. It's in Luke chapter 16. Now, this is a weird parable. Okay, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, this is a weird parable. Okay, yeah, this is a weird parable. Okay, we're going to look at it, and we're going to unpack it together. Okay, now he said to the disciples, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. This guy is not doing it right. So he called the manager in and asked, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager. You're getting fired. I'm calling you to account on this because you're not managing it properly. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do since my master is taking my management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into their homes. So he's thinking ahead. He's saying, I need some friends after this is all over, because I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have any place to live. What am I going to do? So he's thinking ahead. So he summoned each of the master's debtors. How much do you owe my master? He asked the first one. 100 measures of olive oil, he said. Take your invoice, he told him. Sit down quickly and write 50. Next he asked another. How much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat, he said. Take your invoice, he told him, and write 80. So the guy is cutting deals. Why is he cutting deals? Because he wants these people to be his friends. Because he knows he's going to be without a job and he's going to need someplace to live. So he cuts deals. Now, what does his boss say about all this? Let's find out. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. What? Now, his boss did not commend him for his dishonesty, but he did commend him for his smarts. He said, you're a pretty sharp cookie there. You were looking ahead. You knew what was coming. And so you used your influence, your abilities, your resources to make some friends for yourselves. Yeah, you did. So he commends them for that. And then Jesus adds, go back, for the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. He says, sometimes Christians, children of light, are not very smart with their resources. They're not very shrewd how they think through these things. They're not leveraging the abilities, the time, the energies, the passions, the resources, the money, everything. They're not doing that very well. They're not thinking through it. He says, sometimes people in the world are better at that than Christians. That's what Jesus said. So then he says, and here's the punchline. And I tell you, It's a weird parable, I told you. Make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, when it's over, when it's gone, when you're getting ready to die, and you can't take it with you, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Use the resources you have. What's it? Make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that on the other side, there'll be people influenced and impacted by you that say, welcome, welcome home. Years ago, there was a song, it's by today's standards kind of corny, but I still like the message of it. It goes like this. I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. But then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave. And that's why I'm here today. One by one they came, for as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven, now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. And Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord and he said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. That's kingdom smarts. That's making forever friends with your resources that you're going to appreciate not for the span of a few short years on earth, but forever and ever and ever. Sometimes we're not very smart. I came across a wisdom quote this week. It says, it's easy to be wise. Just think of something really stupid to say and then don't say it. I wish wisdom came so easily. The truth is, Martin Luther said it very well. Martin Luther said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. Our good works do not earn us anything before a holy God. The only way that we can experience heaven and forgiveness and salvation is through the finished work of Jesus Christ from the cross. He paid it all. Our good works do not add one cent, one gram to what is necessary for us to be saved. It is 100% through the grace of Jesus Christ given to us, and we freely accept it as a free gift. God doesn't need our good works. God doesn't want our good works. We trust in him fully. But your neighbor does need your good works. In fact, Jesus said it over and over in different ways, but one place he said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And what do we say over and over here at Valley Church? We do good works to build goodwill, to share good news. Peter the Apostle said it this way, live such good lives among your unbelieving neighbors that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good works and they will glorify God on the day he visits. One day God's gonna come knocking at their door, and because they've seen you and the credibility of your life before them makes an impact, they say there's something to this Christianity. There's something to this story. That's what we're talking about. So we are in the midst of Love You Des Moines Days, day 2. It is not too late to get involved. I want to encourage you. There's a bunch of different things you could do. One thing you could do, we talk about having these mini block parties. You know what I'm talking about? It's just passing out some flyers. You can grab their door hangers. You can grab them out in the atrium as you leave today. And just having a get together in your neighborhood. It doesn't have to be a big deal. In fact, Neil and Erica, come on up here. I'm going to have you guys come up. And they're going to share about the block party they had just on Friday. And they're going to tell a little bit about their story. And it, like I said, it doesn't need to be spectacular. It can just be something simple. Okay? So they're coming over. You guys, can we welcome Neil and Erica Seeley right there, all right? All right, so come on forward here. Come on forward. All right, so these guys had a block party, and we talk about all these events being fun, easy, and meaningful. Was your block party fun?
Yeah, it was. It was really fun. We had people improvise, and neighbors are just really cool. They brought out different toys. They brought out water. We talked to our two littlest boys, and we asked them on the way in, what was your favorite part of the block party on Friday? And Graham, our youngest, said it was the water fight they had in the backyard. And then Ethan immediately responded, his older brother, and says, that was my least favorite part, because you squirted me. And so they share in the experience differently, but they both had a blast.
But it was fun.
It was really so fun. Another one of our kids said that just seeing all of the lawn chairs along the street was his favorite part. So, and just building those relationships with families and people, that was my favorite part.
Just fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it easy, or did you have to plan for like 10 years to pull this off?
It was really easy.
Okay.
So Shalay and Josh Boyle, some of you might know them, they were members here at Valley, and they'd had the block party for the last few years. They moved away, and so they just contacted us like 2 months ago, and they said, will you guys do the block party? We said, yeah, absolutely. So we kind of waited for a while, and then we were like, oh, we have to get on this. So we just sent flyers out to all the neighbors. And then we had a Facebook page already.
Right.
And then so I just posted some things on there, some needs, and everybody was really willing to help. And yeah, and it was really easy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So that's easy. And guys, we're going to do something in our neighborhood. We're going to do it on Friday. And you know, we're going to give away ice cream or something. And it's actually Flag Day. So we're just going to give little American flags out and just celebrate that. Is that easy? So we grab the door hangers, right in, come, you know, put the address and the time, and that's it. And have some free popsicles or popcorn or ice cream or whatever. It's not hard. Okay, meaningful. Was this meaningful?
Yeah, it was really meaningful. Just the chance to talk with people in a little bit more length than usually, like, you know, going to the mailbox or mowing your lawn. But people want to visit. They want to get connected with people in their neighborhood. And so the fact that you have the block party, they wanted to have an extended conversation. And it was really, really neat to meet some new families and just share stories over the year. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. And that morning, there were two other friends of mine. We went on a prayer walk that morning and just prayed that the Lord would just bless it and pray that he would just show up in conversations. And so it was meaningful to me because we just saw his hand in conversations that whole evening. So it was very meaningful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing something radical. You are loving your neighbors. Wow, what a concept. This is amazing. And God's, you're planting seeds and you're loving your neighbors and you're making connections. And I know God's going to use that. How many of you would like to be Neil and Erica's neighbors? Yeah. These are great neighbors. Can we cheer for them today? Way to go, guys. Thanks so much. You did an awesome job, all right? Okay. So guys, that's an easy way. Here's some other things you can do. Inviting people. Let's have a slide that just shows this. Here's how you can invite people. You can go to valley.church/eventshare. Just keep that up there, valley.church/eventshare. Or you can just go to the Facebook page of the Valley Community Center and just go through all those and invite people to events. So as you head out today, if you don't have the list of all the events, and there's like over 100 of them listed out, and we're just on day two, just take this event, find one or two that you like, go to the Facebook or go to this Facebook page of Valley Community Center or to this link and just share it and invite your neighbors, you know, invite your coworkers, find somebody that you could invite to that through an email or through Facebook or social media, you can do that. And there's all sorts of activities that are happening. In fact, right after this service, you can walk across the street, you can text a neighbor and say, come and join me. There's going to be snacks, there's going to be fun activities, there's going to be just some food over there. So check it out. We're going to do that. And that's right after the service is over. So just make your way there. Everybody's invited, all right? And you can text some neighbors if you like, coworkers, whatever. Join me there, or just let them know it's there, all right? Also, there's all these activities. Please don't attend alone. You know, bring some other folks with you. You can pick up this pamphlet of all the activities as you exit on those high tables. The door hangers for the block parties, if you'd like those, are at the event display. And so you can pick that up. Again, there's got to be a first time for everything. So maybe you're the one in your neighborhood. We were that in our neighborhood last year. We said, okay, well, I guess we got to do it. And we had a decent crowd show up. And, you know, we'd never done it before. And people told us, thank you for doing this. Finally, somebody stepped forward and did it. And so maybe you can be that person this year, okay? It's not just these activities that are listed here. We also have all sorts of service projects, which are included on this. 7 service projects are included in this pamphlet. But here's a few of them. Here's 4 of them. Bundled bottoms. This is diaper making. So you do this, not just with yourself, but with a neighbor, friend, or whatever. Invite them. And these diapers go to Haiti. So it's a great way to include people that way. Operation Christmas Child, making gifts, assembling gifts. You can be a part of that. You can invite a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, your one life, whoever it might be. The Des Moines Dream Center, which is one of our ministry partners, they're doing great stuff for people in need in our community. So what we're doing there is sign painting. This is a limited enrollment. There's only 12 spots, but it's for people that are kind of artsy, that like to paint, and we're going to create home decor pieces that go in the Dream Center, and so you can actually learn about this and learn how to do this, but bring along another artsy friend who likes to do that sort of stuff, crafts, whatever, and do that. Sign up for that. Again, check this out. It'll let you know how to do that. And then finally, Meals from the Heartland. There's more listed, but Meals from the Heartland is one I'll highlight. Meals from the Heartland sends meals all over the globe to people in need. And they do a fantastic job with this. And usually, when you sign up, and a lot of people in Des Moines are familiar with Meals from the Heartland. And when you sign up for this, normally you have to pay a certain amount because the meals cost money. We are very grateful to the Lord for some generous organizations and donors who have made it possible for you to participate in Meals from the Heartland for free. You don't have to bring anything. And it's a major, major commitment on your part. Next Saturday, it will take 1 hour of your time. 1 hour. There's 2 shifts, one in the late afternoon and one in the early evening. They're right back to back, like 5:30 or something, and 6:30, I think. But anyway, just real close to each other. And you just take 1 hour, or you can do both shifts, whatever you want. But again, bring somebody along with you to say, hey, you want to pack meals with me? And it doesn't cost a thing. This is so easy. So be smart. Show some kingdom smarts here. Check out the flyers. There's all sorts of volunteer shifts. Let me show you how to get there with that. This slide. This will take you to the valley.church/loveudsm. Will take you to volunteer shifts that you can sign up for. Okay? Still lots of volunteer opportunities. This Saturday is the garage no sale, guys. The garage no sale. We do this every year. And we need items. So note these collection times. Thursday and Friday, those are the collection times. Bring your stuff. We need good stuff, not junk, gently used, good stuff, and it'll help people in need. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in need. The garage no sale is by invitation only. We work with partners to get people who are truly in need in the community to give this away for free to them. Also, the community celebration right after the service. Head on over there, text a friend. It's going to happen there. Lots of fun things. I love the impact that this makes. You know, one thing that we do for the school next door, we've done it for a couple of years now, is to show a movie. The kids read and they earn points and so forth. And if they reach a certain level, they're able to have movie day at their school. And so the Jordan Creek Elementary School actually brings the kids here and they show the movie on the big screens. And so we got a few cards, a thank you card. Well, we got a ton of them. I picked out 4 of them to show you. The first one is, we love that you said yes, so we can watch our movie. And all we wanted to say is, thank you, church. I love that. Dear Valley Church, we thank you for letting us use the big room for the movie. I sure like seeing Ferdinand, but I've seen it 3 times in a row. But I would like to watch it. Thanks again for letting us watch it. From Kaylee, and then she has a map from us, being Jordan Creek Elementary School and Valley Church. And she sort of even has the directions correct on the compass there. Okay, dear Valley Church workers, thank you for letting us use your big screens to watch Ferdinand. You have been very kind to us through the years. Love, Brielle, second grade. And then this last one, I have no idea what that means. Okay, anyway, so that's great too. Okay, so guys, Kingdom Smarts. Next one. Two quick parables and then we're out of here. Two sons. Kingdom commitment. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Matthew 21. What do you think? A man had two sons, said Jesus. He went to the first and said, my son, go work in the vineyard today. He answered, I don't want to. But later he changed his mind and went. Okay. Then the man went to the other son and said the same thing. My son, go work in the vineyard today. I will, sir, he answered. And this is the son you like. I mean, he's inspiring. I mean, this is the guy that just, I mean, he gives you goosebumps. Go work in the vineyard. I will, sir. Wow, respect for dad. You got to love that. I will, sir. I mean, he gives you goosebumps. He's so good. He sends, you know, it tingles down your spine, just so committed. I will, sir. But he didn't go. Thud. Which of the two did his father's will? They said the first. Jesus said to them, the scribes and the Pharisees, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John, that's the baptizer, came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. But you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds then. You saw the impact this was making on people far from God, and it still didn't change your mind. The Pharisees had a religiously transmitted disease called hypocrisy. They said one thing but lived another way. They acted all excited and religious, but they didn't follow through, and they didn't believe, and they didn't follow. Because it's not what you say, it's what you do. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And last one is, why do we do all this? Because a lost sheep, here's the parable of the lost sheep, kingdom joy. There is unimaginable joy over a single changed life. Luke 15. All the tax collectors and sinners were listening to Jesus, came to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Which is always the criticism you will get. Anytime you love people far from God. Anytime you hang out and befriend neighbors who may not agree with you. Anytime you really reach out in love and generosity and kindness to people like that. You'll get critics. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, as I found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. Why do we do all this? Well, one reason we do all this is for the joy that we see over a single changed life. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you that we could gather together and experience your goodness, your blessing, your grace on our lives. But help us, oh God, not to keep it to ourselves. Help us to show that grace and that kindness and that faithfulness and that goodness and that justice and that truth and that love to the people of our community. We ask you to bless the work of our hands, for without you we can do nothing, Lord Jesus. And we ask you to take these 9 days and move in our midst, in our community. Thank you for the incredible generosity and willingness to sacrifice on the people of Valley Church for all these many years. Bless them, O God, and help them to see the fruit of God-centered gospel labor. I pray this all in your name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.